Good morning. Today is the final day of 2019. Some say it's a decade. Some say it's another year. I prefer to think it's the end of the decade because I can count to one. And then I've got to count to two. Bill Doberstein, 2.5 week employee for the city of Fortuna, is with us.
That's right.
That's right. So are you city manager this morning?
Actually, he is off today. He will be back on Thursday. So.
So that would be a yeah. That explains the tie.
He's still the city manager.
That explains the tie. That's not why you're not going out looking for a job, are you?
No.
Okay.
No interviews this morning.
This one? What the heck is this one? No interviews.
No, not yet.
You're sitting around talking, right? All right. Are you ready for our why do we say that?
Sure.
Let George do it. Why do we say let George do it?
Oh, geez. It must be something about George Washington.
That's where I would have gone.
Chopping down the cherry tree.
No, you're about 2 months early.
Something like that.
The expression is believed to have originated in France in the 15th century in a satirical reference. Crud. Then it goes French on us. Laissez-faire et Georges. How's that? To the many activities of Cardinal George D'Ambrose, Archbishop and Prime Minister for Louis the 12th. Let George do it. May have been what the king said.
Well, I learned something new today.
Okay, let's try this one. This is more military. Lieutenant. Why does a lieutenant general outrank a major general?
Because they have 3 stars and a major general has 2 stars. When I was in the Air Force, I remembered it by Be My Lieutenant General, or Be My Little General, which was Brigadier Major Lieutenant General.
Because a lieutenant was originally a substitute. The word comes from the Latin phrase locum tenens, meaning holding the place of another. Kind of like what you're doing today.
Yeah.
That is, and because of this meaning, a lieutenant general should be second only to a full general in rank. And he is. Or she is.
I've met a lieutenant.
You're a placeholder. Lieutenant.
I was a lieutenant for several years, yes, before I became chief.
Yeah, see what happened?
I wasn't a general, though.
Yeah. Whoops. So what are you going to think of when you think of 2019?
2019 has been, actually, it's been a fairly good year for me and the department. I think we've accomplished a lot in 2019.
Any one thing leap out?
Well, we've had no, and the day isn't over yet, so you don't speak too soon, but we've had no homicides. Our robberies are down.
Really? No homicide? I mean, you hear about bodies all over the place, but
yeah, not in 2019. Not in 2019. We haven't had a homicide since 2016, and we had 2 that year.
Wow.
Two murders.
You know, that would probably earn you a couple beers at the bar.
Yeah, so, you know, so that's good. So that means, you know, we haven't been in any officer-involved shootings or major use of force issues or anything like that. So overall in the department, and we were able to secure grant funding and our Measure Z positions and our Measure E positions. And so, you know, professionally speaking, I think 2019 was a pretty good year for us.
Yeah, we don't really care about your personal life.
No, yeah. Nothing really happened in my personal life in 2019.
Yeah, snooze. Okay. Yeah. So as you look forward into 2020, what is the one thing that's out there? I mean, you got your investigator.
Right.
So that's kind of cool. You don't have that on the checklist for the department. What do you see out there?
Well, I'm like I said, I'm retiring in 18 days.
However, you can pass it along to the former sheriff there.
And you know, I've been working with our lieutenant, for the last month. Really, everything, he's been pretty much sitting by my side the whole time going over things. And, you know, some of the big things coming up, obviously, are Measure Z. Now it's Measure O. We have to reapply for those positions each year, and that funds our school resource officer and our drug task force agent. And those are big for us. I mean, those are huge positions, and if we aren't able to secure the funding for that, that's going to be a major hit for the department. So I'm doing all I can to help make sure that we can secure that those positions. Our Measure E.
Those aren't rollover?
They're not rollover. We have to go before the Measure Z or Measure O committee each year.
Sure, and, but I'm no homicides. I would think would be something you could point. I mean, you could point to the last couple of years and go, right. These guys have been vital. Look, here are the results.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about our drug task force agent. You know, it's completely paid for by Measure O monies now. But if we didn't have that position, we would take a huge hit. I mean, the amount of drugs that we've collected in the Ill River Valley has been, you know, surprisingly high since we've had an agent on the drug task force, because we have someone local from our department that knows the players in the Ill River Valley. And talk about Riodel, Ferndale, Fortuna, Scotia, Lolita, those areas.
And so it's a joint position for Riodel Police and Ferndale Police as well as Fortuna?
It's a Fortuna officer. We pay his salary through Measure Z money. However, he's assigned to the County Drug Task Force. So he doesn't work in our office. He works up at the DTF office as a team. But just having that resource at the DTF office has brought a lot more activity down into the Ill River Valley. And we've seen huge, especially in meth and heroin arrests. One of the biggest heroin arrests, I think the biggest heroin arrest we've ever seen in Humboldt County occurred in Lolita. So, you know, it's things like that. And I know he was active on that case as well as the other agents, but those sorts of things. And then our school resource officer is not only for Fortuna, but she serves the whole Ill River Valley. So we try to make these county-funded positions not just Fortuna-related. We try to expand it out to the entire Ill River Valley. So she's going to all the schools. She's got an office at Fortuna High School, but she's not just at Fortuna High School. She goes to Riodel. She goes to Lolita, Scotia. She's even went out to Bridgeville. So she serves the whole Ill River Valley. So those positions are critical. They're coming up. The applications are due in February.
And that is funny, because I would have thought that demonstrable success like that there would be a core, that something would have to go wrong, otherwise it would be extended.
Yeah, well, the problem is you go there and there's $9 million in requests and there's $4 million that they could spend.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill Doberstein. Bill, it's, as you have seen the face, certainly, of law enforcement change over the 25 or so years, what do you think is the best change that's happened for law enforcement from a community perspective?
The best change. Well, I think the officers are, we're getting a bright group of people going through the academy now. They want to be officers.
You're saying there were dummies when you were going through?
They were. They were very dedicated at that time too, but I think the national conversation towards law enforcement has grown negative. I started in 1994. It was a different atmosphere in law enforcement. I think there's a lot more people clamoring to get in. When I started in law enforcement, I had to start as a reserve because there was no openings. I mean, there's no openings anywhere in Humboldt County. So I started as a reserve and had to wait for an opening, then had to apply for the opening to get a full-time position. But that pendulum has totally swung the other way now, where there's, you don't see the same thing. You don't see the same level of people wanting to be cops anymore.
Like, now, are they going now into the military rather than into law enforcement, or do you think that there's just less interest in that career field?
Well, yeah, I went from the military into law enforcement, and I think about 10 years ago, I've been working at the academy since 2001, but about 10 years ago, we were seeing a ton of military people come through the academy. You don't see that very much anymore. Now maybe you have three or four people in the entire academy that have been in the military, whereas before we might have had 70% of the class that was in the military before. So it's just getting, it's like I said, I think law enforcement's got a black eye with, I've told you before, people tend to, paint a brush over everybody over one incident that happens in Florida, and then we have to answer to it.
Alaska's dealing with it, yeah.
Right, yeah. So it's things like that. But overall, I think we're getting a good quality person going through the academy. This last academy, I went to the graduation. They had everybody except for one person was already hired by the time they got out of the academy. And that was unheard of. When I went through the academy, everybody was kind of on their own when they got out and were looking for jobs still. And now everybody's hired before they even get out of the academy. Because, there's just a really strong need for law enforcement officers, especially here in the state of California. Some of the things that I've seen change over the years, especially, would be technology. We're wearing body cameras now. We have mobile data computers in our cars. We write our reports. We don't use paper anymore. It's all on the computer, and it gets sent electronically to the sergeant for approval, and then it gets sent electronically to the district attorney's office. So we don't have paper reports anymore.
Probably far more legible.
Far more legible, yeah. Autocorrect is great. but when I started in 94, we had WordPerfect, which is the old version of WordPerfect. That I used, but half the guys when I started, they were still writing reports by hand and using Whiteout, when they made a mistake. So as far as technology goes, it's just, a huge difference from in the 25 and a half years I've been in law enforcement. It's a huge difference, what technology has brought. And even when I go to the Cal Chiefs Conference and the trade shows and things like that and see some of the technology out there, it's amazing. It's just amazing the cameras that you could, we can't afford it in Fortuna, but the bigger cities have the cameras that, can license plate readers on,
On different blocks. The telephone poles and light standards and stuff.
Yeah, it's like, so if there's a crime committed in that area, they've got a list of license plates, right there available.
It's almost like cheating, isn't it?
It is. So
how much does that kind of stuff cost? I mean, and what's the life expectancy?
Well, a license, I think Eureka PD has a couple of them on their cars, but just the license plate reader alone for one car, the last time I checked, was about $23,000.
Oh, so you put it on a mobile unit rather than
you can put it on
a
mobile unit, or you could have a stationary one. I do not know the price of stationary. I would think it'd be about the same price. HIDA, the high traffic drug areas, which we're included in HIDA now for the North State, does have one. We've borrowed it a few times, and basically, it alerts us when there's a stolen vehicle that drives by, and the plate reads, and it alerts.
Also, it does have, it's not just filming.
No, it's not just filming. It's actually looking for stolen vehicles, and, the problem is if you have it down on, Fortuna Boulevard and dispatch gets a hit, by the time an officer gets there, the car is long gone, but...
Right.
It does show us that, last time we had it in town, I think we had 7 stolen vehicles drive by it. And that was it was in town for like a week.
Really?
Yeah. So it does work.
It's amazing what's underneath the surface of the water, isn't
right.
it?
Right, yeah. Just
you wouldn't think.
Happen to be driving down Main Street or something like that. So unless there's an officer in close proximity, it's really hard to catch them in the act. But it does show you that there are those vehicles, and it does give our officers the ability to be on the lookout for those vehicles, rolling around town and things like that too. So,
but a little north of 20 grand per copy.
Per copy, a little north. I think you could get even, 30,000, 40,000 for the really, really, really good models. So,
We just throw in a little salt air, and you know, it lasts about 6 months, right?
Right.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with acting city manager in Fortuna, Phil Doberstein. That got you, didn't it?
It did.
But, you know, it explains the clown suit. So,
yeah, it's,
you know,
it's
really, really easy. Well, and the big red shoes.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, I mean, yeah, those look real sharp.
They're brown.
Okay, defending the fashion. Fine. Okay, then they'll know who you are when they walk down the street. Oh, so what do old cops do?
That's a good question.
I mean, other than work for, like, the DA's office.
Right.
Sorry, Maggie.
A lot of them do go to the DA's office or become retired annuitants, you know, with the sheriff's department, working in the courts or the airport.
You've got a pool of knowledge.
Yes.
And expertise that would be valuable or transferable, but I know you guys' retirement plans oftentimes muck things up.
Yeah, you can't. Basically, once you retire from a PERS agency, you could work for that agency basically part-time, 960 hours a year, or you don't get your retirement anymore.
So what's that, about 10 weeks?
960.
That's only by 40, huh? So about a half year.
Yeah, it's about a half year. It's about 6 months. That's why a lot of guys just work part-time and work 940, 950 hours a year and then start over the next year. If you wanted to go back into it full-time, let's say a year from now I want to get back into law enforcement and I want to go work for...
Brian's talking to you, so you want to work in Arcata.
Yeah. So
okay, do you have to sign up for the PERS program?
Basically, what would happen? My PERS would be would stop. My retirement payments would stop at that time, and I'd just go back to full time. And when I retired again, they would start up again.
So it's kind of mandatory that it's recognized. I'm saying, you know, okay, yeah. No, I'm not paying into the retirement program. You guys don't have to match it, anything like that. Just pay me straight hourly because I've got the retirement.
Yeah, PERS won't let you do that, though.
Now, what if you went to work for me?
I could go to work. Yeah, as long as you weren't a CalPERS agency, I could work full-time.
So it's just state.
It's just CalPERS.
Entities.
Yeah, it's just any place that has.
So that's why the guys go to work for the feds a lot.
They go to work for the feds because they're not CalPERS. And you can get a full-time job. Like, a great job is at McKinleyville at the courthouse. Those guys that work up there,
you give them a broom so we get something out of them.
Yeah,
Steve.
So they're getting a full-time paycheck up there, plus they're getting their full retirement.
And basically wasting away because the knowledge base isn't being used.
The knowledge base isn't being used. So, you know, I always try to do my best, like I was talking before with our lieutenant. I've been the last over a month now, I guess, I've been showing him where all my files are. You know, this is what I do. Here's my computer, you know, get on here. This is where I keep this is where I keep that. This might be important down the road someday for you. It took me a long time to amass all this stuff. And, you know, the chief.
And remember that you have it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, oh, yeah, I did that in 2014. Yeah, yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, and the chief before me was good with doing the same thing. Chris Kitna, right before he retired, he sat down and we went over everything. And I still on my computer have what's called his old files on my computer that I'll go back to every now and then just to look at some of the stuff that he did, you know, and maybe it's for an ABC grant or maybe it's for an OTS grant or something like that. And then, oh yeah, I could put that in the one I'm writing right now, because, you know, that is still relevant.
Well, and you want to know that historical reference point also.
Right. Yeah, it does give you a little history. And then after, you know, the years go by, like I said, I've been chief for 8.5 years, so I've got a lot of experience with this. And, you know, yeah, it is tough coming in brand new. You know, I remember 8.5 years ago, I came in here with our city manager, Dwayne Riggi, at the time, and like my first or second.
Oh no!
Yeah, on the radio, and remember he asked me, "What do you want? I want to make Fortuna the best place I possibly, you know, and all that stuff."
Yeah, all the platitudes.
Yeah. But I remember that. But it's you do, and when you come in as a new chief, or even as an interim chief, you want to do your best job you can, and so you know, I'm gonna work with whoever and try to get them, you know, up to speed. And
now, how do they determine the wake behind you? Yeah, you know, obviously there's going to be a recruitment process for
right.
a permanent. Is that? I find it interesting. You know, there's two schools of thought, right? New blood, somebody outside the department brings in new ideas, blah blah blah,
right.
and
yeah,
you know, improves things and new set of eyes. And the other is somebody who knows what's going on and the community knows who they are.
Right.
Choose wisely. And it's more of just a smooth transition, and you don't have to worry about significant changes or ripples on the pond.
Yeah, and I know they're bringing in an interim chief. It's on the next council agenda. But, you know, that would be a council and city manager decision. Since I've been there, I've only worked for two chiefs since I've been there. Kent Bradshaw was the one who hired me, and Chris Kitna became chief in 2005 to 2011, and I've been chief since 2011. So I've only worked for two chiefs, which is pretty unusual for 25 and a half years.
I would think small town tends to be pretty tight turnover,
yeah.
because it's a stepping stone for most.
They say the average tenure for a chief is 3 to 4 years.
Well, okay. And
so I've doubled that, so I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, beat the odds twice. Yeah.
But, you know, that's what they say, the average tenure is 3 to 4 years. And there have been chiefs that have served much longer than that, and there's been chiefs that have, you know, even in Fortuna in the late 80s, I believe they had a chief come in and he was gone within a year. So, you know, it's just – it's the community, it's the council, it's, you know –
budget's probably a significant impact, yeah.
And, you know, perception in the city and, you know, making sure that you're engaged with the community and all those things are so important, especially in the chief's role, you know, being involved in Rotary, going to meetings. And
you're the nameplate.
Right.
For a lot of it, yeah.
Yeah, you're the face of the department, so to speak, and so you need to be out there and engaging with the people and so I hope I've done a good job with that, and I've tried to. And
oh, they'll let you know on the way out.
Yeah, they'll let me know on the way out.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It is 8:48. We're back final 2 minutes of this year.
Oh, wow.
Of this decade. Yeah. Not that there's any pressure.
Hey, just remember, I am your last guest of the decade.
Well, and this is your last show, too.
This is my last show.
Yeah, unless you bump somebody up between now and retirement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you never know.
I don't see that one happening, huh? Then replacement would be coming in a little bit early.
Yeah.
Have a little something to do.
I get a new residence, so I probably want to be there.
Yeah, yeah. I know it's tough to do the military part and then also the cop part. Reflections.
It's been, I won't do anything else to tell you the truth. It's been a great 25 and a half years at the Fortuna Police Department. Just, last year when Mike Johnson retired, I am the longest serving employee in the entire city of Fortuna. Which,
oh, really?
Yeah, in the entire city, public works, everywhere. So that kind of made me reflect, like, wow, I've been here a long time. But just making sure that the, you know, reflections, the people I worked with. I've worked with many, many people. I've got really good friends and relationships from those interactions and those working relationships that I've had over the last 25 and a half years. The job, I feel like I've accomplished things. Hopefully made the city a little bit better policing-wise than when I first started. You know, able to get some positions for the department and put our department just in a better place. Right now we're looking at getting a new department. I'm on the ground level of that, you know, trying to get a new facility for the police department. But overall, just, you know, it's been Fortuna's a great place. It's a great place to work. The people there are great, and I'm going to miss the job. I'm going to miss the people.
Do you have to turn in your key?
Unless I stayed on as reserve, which I'm not planning to do, so yes, I will have to turn in my key.
Man, you've had reservations all along. Give me a break. Well, good job. Stay in touch.
We will.
Keep in contact.
Absolutely.
Join us tomorrow morning.